Okay, so my first follow-up question to you is, your mother's name was Annie Magar. Was May spelled...
Annie
Yes, M-A-E?
Magar.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so you grew up poor. Would you mind telling me your experiences of growing up poor and what it was like growing up with not a lot of money? What your childhood was like, sir, being poor?
Well, we had seven boys and one girl in my family, and the girl was the oldest. And you know, like most of us, when you have a big family like that, and your aunts and uncles that didn't have no children, maybe a couple of them, one of them would go stay with them or something, because we had a small little three-bedroom house all of us was in. So we just tried to make it work. But then the aunties that didn't have any kids or something, then they would take you in and you would stay with them. So it was just a, we were poor, but we were never hungry and stuff, so we just didn't really think about it a whole lot, and we all just cared and looked out for one another.
What were some of the other sacrifices you guys made when you guys were young?
Well, sacrifice, being poor, the sacrifices, you can't imagine it enough. You have to work, you have to do everything, you know, you have to work together, the older ones, and then you're trying to, some of them can go to school, and then as they get older, if they wasn't college material, they had to go to work to try to help support the ones, and then we was able to sort of work together, and the one that was able to go to school, like my sister, she graduated from college, we graduated four out of seven of them, so that was a wonderful thing, you know what I'm saying, four out of seven of my brothers and sisters graduated from college, so that helped a lot.
What college your sister go to?
My sister went to Grambling College.
Okay, the same one you went to. Okay,
so speaking of
Grambling, the ace of your staff when you were in college was Joffrey Brown. You know, he pitched for the Cubs in '68, one game, and he was also one of the Hollywood's top stuntmen. What would you have to say about Joffrey Brown? What was it like being teammates with him?
Joffrey Brown, I played against him in high school. He was what you call a premier pitcher at Grambling High School, and I went to Lincoln High School. And when we played against one another, it was a rival. But he had some kind of ability. He had a fabulous arm, and he was a very good pitcher. And he was a good person. He and his parents was a little more wealthy than we was. His daddy was sort of a pioneer in the Grambling area. He had rental property and everything, so they lived a pretty decent life.
Okay.
As far as money was concerned, they had a little access to more, and they were very caring and understanding people. And he helped a lot of people with his own rental properties and business and stuff like that.
The Brown family, Mr. Brown?
Yeah, and his brother was a stunt man in California. That's the way he got the job in California, went out there and worked.
Do you remember what his brother's name was?
I forget what Joffrey Brown's brother's name was, but I don't know. I forget his name, but he was a stunt man in California at that time.
So to sum it up then, you say he had an incredible arm, incredible talent, and you guys were all against each other in high school for being college teammates then. To sum it up then.
And then we played together in semi-pro ball. Like, he would pitch, I would play the outfield, and I had a cousin named Ben Williams that was a catcher. And we would play weekend baseball on the semi-pro teams, and then they would help us, you know, just give you food and things and different little things to help you go to school and stuff.
Let's talk about another Grambling alum, Matt Alexander, who once said that he didn't know you before Grambling, but he got to know you very well, and that he was that you were the first player that he met who could talk trash and then go back up on the field, and you taught Matt Alexander a lot of confidence, so I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but what would you have to say about Matt Alexander?
One of the nicest human beings I've ever met, and that's right. He was a middle infielder and outfielder, but he could natural bone run. Now, see, they talked about me running. They had four guys, maybe five, as fast or faster than I was on the baseball team that I played on. It was a guy named Simon and a guy named John White and a guy named Johnny Jeter played with the Pirates, and Michael Cummins, and let me see, it was another boy. Michael Cummins, Matt Alexander, John White, James Simon, and let me see, it was another boy called Billy Rowan. I don't know, but I think all of about five of us that was that could run a little bit at that time.
What made him so nice? What made Matt Alexander so nice?
Well, he's from Shreveport, Louisiana. That's about 70 miles from Gremlin, Louisiana. So he was from Shreveport, and he was sort of a quiet type guy. He didn't really talk too much or anything, but he was a very good baseball player. And he was a good friend. He still is a good friend as of today.
So here you are in the Dominican League in the early 70s, the Winter League. You're playing for Estrella's Orientals. You hit .457 during the winter of 1970-71. That's a league record. Still is. 105 hits, 58 runs scored in just 56 games. What did all those achievements in the Dominican League mean to you?
It means a great deal, because a lot of time when American players would go over there, they feared that some of them came over there just for a vacation. But when I went over there, I went over there to play baseball. You know what I'm saying? So that was the blessing there. And then they said that some of the American players would come over there and they wouldn't us and play as hard and wasn't as important. But I wanted to prove that was false, because we as American players played just as hard over there as we did at home to let be respected as a baseball player. In which they just have a natural flash about them and make them look like they're a hot dog, but they're basically good baseball players, and they play the game hard. They just don't come as hard as do for some other people because they play a lot of baseball over there. And I learned that it wasn't so much that they was flashy and cocky, but that's just the way they played the game of baseball, sort of some of their heritage, you know.
So what do you think the Dominican League taught you? What do you think you learned over there as a player and as a person? What did the Dominican League teach you?
It taught me to be competitive, and I played against very good ball players. They had Felipe Lou, Mario Lou, Jesus Lou, Rico Cardi. They had so many, Marichal. They had Matty Mota. They had so many great players over there that I respected so much. See, Rico Cardi was on the major league team with me, and then Matty Alou was one of the managers over there in the Dominican Republic. So I looked forward to going there because I already knew them guys, and I wanted to make them feel that it was nice for me. See, I went to the Dominican my first year from AAA ball, and they all wanted basically from AA ball. They all basically wanted major league players. But when my first year over there, I came from AA and went over there. They asked them, begged Mr. Antoon and Scrayes to let me get a chance. But they wouldn't take baseball players unless they were AAA or major league.
So then you got there eventually in 70 and 71, and you were very proud of your accomplishments then. And okay.
Right, very proud, very happy of my accomplishment.
So, when you get to Chicago, the White Sox, Bill Veeck, you know, he did a lot of his publicity stunts like we talked about in our first interview, the shorts, Disco Demolition. What do you recall about Bill Veeck and your personal experiences with him?
Well, see, Paul Richard was the guy that signed Paul Richard and Mr. Mel Didio and Clint Cardner are the guys that signed me with the Braves. So when Mr. Paul Richard went over to Chicago, he just happened to take me over to Chicago with him. And Mr. Veeck and him was good friends, you know. And Mr. Veeck, when we got there, people was asking me about, like I told you, about the Schultz and all this other stuff. I went over there to play baseball just like I did in Dominican. I had a family to try to see after, so I wasn't there trying to run the team. I was there to play baseball, and that's what I tried to show them. And I was able to play there for about close to 4 years, and thank God I was able to get 10 years in.
Yes, but your impressions of Mr. Veeck and what you thought of him as an owner and your personal experiences with him.
Well, he was a caring person. Mr. Veeck helped a lot of people. You know, he was sort of a promoter like. You know, he liked the little gimmicks and stuff, but people came to the ballpark to watch them gimmicks that Mr. Vick put on. So he was able to do a lot for a lot of people in the game of baseball. He was one of the special owners that I think that contributed a lot to all type of people in the game of baseball.
We talked about in our first interview about you being the first batter 40 years ago at Exhibition Stadium in Toronto in the first game in Blue Jays history. And not only were you the first batter, but also it was cold weather and it was snowing on the ground at Exhibition Stadium. What do you remember about that experience, having to deal with the snow as well as being the first batter the Blue Jays ever faced?
Back to what I'm telling you, I've just got to play baseball, and we thank God that we was able to get started there in Toronto, and that was a very good addition to the game of baseball, and they were very good fans, and they were very good people, so it was a wonderful feeling to be the first batter there, and I'll always cherish that also, because it's just good to contribute something to the game of baseball, which has done so much for me and my family in so many ways, thank God.
Disco Demolition Night, 1979, what do you remember about that? Because I know you didn't play, you were supposed to play in the second game, but what do you remember about that whole experience and knowing the fans going on the field and the blowing up of the disco records? What exactly do you remember your personal experience of Disco Demolition Night?
It was just a promotion that got out of hand, and then I remember I hurt my knee that night. I don't want to complain about it too much, but it was wet, and I hurt my knee a little bit that night, and that sort of affected me a little bit, but I didn't gripe and complain because you was older. And then legs was the main part of my, one of the main parts of my game, so I didn't want to say too much about that. So I tried to cover that up for a while, but after a while it began to show. And then so at the latter part of my career with the leg bothered me, you know, so it sort of, then I ain't going to lay it on that it completely stopped me, but I was, you know, I was more of a runner. And then when I got, well, I couldn't run as fast, it made a little difference, but I didn't lay it on that. I thank God for all the times they did allow me to play and for the success that I had in baseball, sir.
Were you surprised, or what were you thinking as the whole night was unfolding and you saw how out of hand it was getting? What was going through your mind as you were seeing all of it?
Well, it was sort of a little scary, like, because people just running out on the field and doing everything. They were just going at it. I'm talking about they were just running all over the place, just everywhere. You had to get in the dugout, try to get out of the way of people and things, because it had just gotten completely out of hand. And wasn't nothing you could do but try to get somewhere and sit down and stay out of people's way and just let them hope that let it run its course. And then they got it under control, and everything was good after that. And we'd always be known for that. And I was sort of glad to be a part of it, but I'm glad that it wasn't no worse than it was.
My last follow-up question to you, and I do appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your day for this. 35 years old, here you are. You gave it a last shot in Mexico in 1981. You played 11 games in Mexico City. You went 9-for-34. Would you mind telling me about your experience in Mexico City in 81 after your final Major League game?
Well, it was a little different in Mexico than it was in the Dominican Republic. I was an upcoming guy then, and I was a down going guy in Mexico. So it was just, it wasn't, and I think the Dominican ball was a little better than the Mexican ball, but I enjoyed it anyway. I just went over there to try to do the best I can, but that's when my knee was bad too, so that sort of affected me on right tomorrow too. So, and I start trying to hit with a little more power, and it's just hard to just change too much when you are what you are. And I just thank God that I tried to do the best I can. I enjoyed the little experience, but I was glad to get home and get back to trying to build my life after baseball, and which I thank God for.
So then my two final questions then in response to what you just said. First of all, what made the Dominican League better than the Mexican League in your opinion? And second of all, what were you hoping to get out of it by playing down in Mexico?
Well, I just went down there because they paid you to come down there for Fritz Strickler to make a few dollars, because when you got out of baseball, you didn't have much money as the players. I'm not comparing myself to the players today, but back then, the minimum salary, I think, was $12,500. So you needed to try to make money to take care of your family And so I went down there to play baseball for the money. They offered me money to come down there and play, because when American players came down there, it sort of helped draw people to come and watch them play. But it wasn't quite as organized as Dominican was, and there wasn't as many good known major league players in Mexico as it was in the Dominican Republic.
Okay, Mr. Garth, thank you.